Let's pray. Father, I thank you for tonight, Lord. I thank you that your purposes, Father, they are well known to you, Lord, and we ask you to reveal them to us. Father, I thank you for this night, Lord, of inquiry, God. May we seek your truth and find it easily, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. Spurgeon said, discernment is not knowing the difference between right and wrong. It is knowing the difference between right and almost right. That is the basis of discernment. And in these days, as they get darker, we find this becomes truer and truer. We must know the difference and also pray in that knowledge. I don't want to spend a lot of time discussing other works and the good or the bad of them. That's not what we're doing tonight. But before we get into any spiritual training, or even if we'll get there tonight, I don't know, there's certain things that have to be discussed because of the New Apostolic Reformation that is invading the valley, and they had a hold of the altar conference. It didn't take a genius to find that out. Everybody on that council was from Bethel or IHOP except two people. But there's something that we need to discuss up front. There's a short film. I think it's like 10 minutes, isn't it, Bridget? We'll show that in a few minutes. But it's a short film excerpt that deals with the NAR, the New Apostolic Reformation, which is the flag that Bethel flies under, International House of Prayer flies under, The Rock in Pasadena flies under. All these guys, Lou Engle, Cheon, they all were awesome. Mike Bickle, Dutch Sheets. You know, 15 years ago, Cindy Jacobs, they were it. And now they've all bought into this goofy, screwy theology that is wrong. John Paul Jackson ushered a lot of it in. He's gone on to be with the Lord, we hope, we think. This whole idea of commanding your angels and bringing them down and bossing them around and getting jewels from them and gifts from them. It sounds almost comical, but the problem is once you're bound up in that work, you'll believe anything that they tell you. And it starts very, very subtly, speaking of dimensions and new sounds. And that's how the New Age movement did it, with the clicking and the chirping. And Isaiah said, stay away from the people that do that. And for some reason, because it's packaged so slick, people aren't listening. They're not listening. And they're getting fooled by a lot of these things. The man who narrates the end of this video, he was in the International House of Prayer and the New Apostolic Reformation movements, and he got out. And he was in their leadership. So he knows exactly what he's talking about. And just so you know for reference, this is not a new thing. It started 100 years ago. It started out after the Azusa Street Revival stopped. There was a group of people that wanted to get it going again. So they started saying, we'll dig up the old wells and we'll do this and we'll do that to try to get it going. And when you try to make God have a move, when you try to make the Spirit move, what's going to happen is your flesh is going to move. Because the Holy Ghost is either in it or he's not. But the Holy Ghost, you know, was gone. He wasn't in the work anymore. It lifted. So there was a group of people that said, well, we'll start this new thing called the Latter-day Rain Movement. And it didn't stick, but it sat. And then in the 80s, and there was things that happened between, you know, like in the 30s and the 40s, it would rise up under a different name, the Joel's Army, different things. It was all abominable. It was all crazy. And when Barham was a preacher, he decided he didn't want to preach anymore. He didn't want to be an evangelist. He wanted to teach. And all of his weird theology came out. He was good as long as he let the Holy Spirit move through him. But then he said, I'm not doing that anymore. And he started doing something else. And he created a lot of problems in Pentecost. And even after his death, nothing but problems. He was full of heresy because he wanted a new way. And that's how it usually starts. In the Garden of Eden, why did they eat the fruit? They wanted a new thing. And Solomon said, I'm really sorry to disappoint you, but there's really nothing new under the sun. So don't get too hanked up on that. And the mystics... There are mystics that are flooding the nation, and they're calling themselves Christians. And the Bible says in the end times that they will come and they will speak of things that look good, but they won't be good. And when they die, they'll try to get into heaven, and God will say, wow, man, I don't even know who you are. But yet and still, they raised the dead. They healed the sick, and they did it in the name of Jesus. That's scary stuff. It's this group of people that are, they're mystics. In the 1980s, the Kansas City Prophets, they basically made a mess. Paul Kane started this. He was a homosexual drunk, and you'd have to be blind not to know. I was at a meeting, and I walked out because it was obvious to me, and people were like, no, this is the new thing. Sandy, you're unteachable. I'm like, okay, well, you know, I'm safe maybe, but call it what you want, but the guy was a homosexual drunk. I walked out. 3 years later, comes out, he's a homosexual drunk. Does the movement stop? No. The movement does not stop. The movement continues, and they call it something different, and they keep going. In 1993, C. Peter Wagner created something. He renamed the flailing movement the New Apostolic Reformation in 93. And I am going into this only because of the conference that they did Friday. And it's creeping in. It's creeping in to many churches. And I've been saddened to see some of the churches that I thought would, I mean, never. And they're getting the shake and bake. They're getting squirrely. And it's because they don't have the goods. And so they manufacture it in their flesh a different way because it's available and it's easy. And they think, well, I'm not following the right thing. But what they'll do is they'll talk against traditions. They'll always talk against traditions, and they'll say, we need to step away from the traditions, and we need to dig new wells, and we need to have new dimensions and new doors and new openings and new sounds of heaven. They'll start talking like that, and you know that they have been bit. Because even when God's doing a new work, it's not a new work if you're pure and clean. All it is a manifestation of all the work you've been doing and blood and sweat you've been given. That's all it is someone else will come in and say, oh, it's a new work. It is not a new work. It's the manifestation of that work that you've paid for with your blood and have been humble and silent in the corner waiting on God. It is not a new work. And these people that come along against their traditions, no. No, that is not right. It's not biblical. And we have to follow the rules. The NAR teaches that Jesus needs to ask you for forgiveness. I know. Now, the problem is, Bill Johnson and all these guys, they don't get up and in every sermon say everything that they believe. They don't do that. But if you listen to thousands of sermons, God help me, that I have had to do, you see this is what they say. Every one of them. They're all saying this. Jesus needs to ask you for forgiveness for the wounds of your life. Jesus came, this is what they say, he came as a man. He was not God, he was not deity. He came as a man, because if he was deity, it wouldn't be fair, because he could do miracles that we could not do. And they don't understand what Jesus did is he laid his crown down, but he never took his robes off. And he could have called on any amount of angelic force to bail him out at any second, because he never laid his deity down. But he preferred his manhood because he was coming for us. But he never was not God. Never was he not God. And so they say also, and if you hang around these guys long enough, and if you, they'll say that we are gods. And they will say that you are gods. The Word of Faith movement, Kenneth Copeland, all those guys, they say it. We are gods. We are gods. Because we have, our DNA is under the kingdom. And the way they say it, you feel like, well, yeah, that sounds right. I mean, I'm a king's kid. And you start thinking like that. If you listen to it enough, you get all squirreled up. But the truth is, we are not a god, not even with a small g. We're joint heirs with Jesus. And especially those of us who are Gentiles, to be grafted in is fantastic. Have you ever noticed how people, a lot of people want to be Jews now? They're shaloming the heck out of stuff. I've been invited to 5 Shabbats. I'm like, do I look like a Jew? And furthermore, you don't look like a Jew either. But they're doing it because they don't, you know what? The glory of being grafted in has left them. Being grafted in is huge. You're Gentile. And you were rescued and saved. There's a power to that. People are denying their birthright, right and left, denying their birthright and losing the power of what it is to be a saint. They instruct people, you are to say, I am. Not I am like the I am, I'm from the I am. I am God. I am the I am. They believe in waking up the angels. In fact, Bill Johnson's wife, you could YouTube it if you want. Wakey, wakey. She travels around in a Winnebago with a couple gals. And when the Holy Spirit tells her, lightly said, loosely said, to stop at a certain place to wake up angels, they do. And they park. And they tell the angels to wake up. Now, I don't know how the world got created without these people, but it did. And they wake up the angels. That's their job, and it's heretical. And there's a reason why they do it, and I'll get to that in a minute. They strictly believe, like I said, that Jesus came as a man, not as a God. That, to me, I can put up with a lot of stuff. Everybody's different. You know what? We got it. We get along. But when you mess with the deity of Christ, I got to draw a line. And I think you do too. They believe in claiming what you want. And what the NAR is, it's a combination between New Age and the Word of Faith movement, that name it and claim it movement. So whether God wants it or not, you should claim it. You are obligated to claim it. They don't understand that the Lord said, I will give you the desires of your heart. But what he was saying is, as you make my desires your desires, I'll give you those desires. It has nothing to do with you, and it's nothing to do with me. It has to do with God getting what he wants through man. But when you're elevated and you think you are as God, all of that eludes you. All of it does. Now, the kingdom, it's called the Kingdom Now theology. They teach this, and what it is that they're going to bring heaven down here. They misinterpret and misread the Lord's Prayer, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. They're saying for people to go visit heaven and, quote unquote, you should have lunch with your dead grandmother. You'll enjoy it. They're being, yeah. Vicky's, she's probably not in heaven. Well, she said, that's no potluck I want to go to. And I want to say in all of this, these are not bad people. I'm sure they love the Lord. I'm sure they're trying to do the right thing. They're not bad people. I'm not coming against the people. I'm naming names so that you could do your own research. You know, it's your own research. They're not, there's, you know, you could think they're wicked or anything like that, but they're just people. And I've met Bill Johnson. He seems like a very nice person, but hello, you're wrong. Because you're messing with the deity of Christ. So anyway, they believe that this new kingdom theology is that the kingdom of heaven comes here. Now, you may in yourself think that's not that big of a deal. I wouldn't think it's that big of a deal. But if you hang around long enough, and see, the trick is this. People go into that, and they get something in their spirit. Like this doesn't seem right. But I'm going to tell you, if it doesn't seem right, you better ask questions immediately. But they don't. And they just sit in it, and they boil like a frog. They just boil. And then they're part of it. And they're like, well, seems good to me. And now they're not asking questions anyway. And now that they're done. So like I said, they want you to interact with the dead, unbiblical. They want you to, and see, one of their claims is, and this is how silly it is, one of their claims is that when Saul went to the witch of Endor and he says, call up Samuel. Maybe your concordance even says this. And if it does, you should probably throw your Bible away, because who knows what other stupid thing it's saying. Certainly don't read the commentary. It'll tell you. She called up Samuel. It'll tell you that. Samuel was dead. Samuel came up and began to talk to him. No, that was a demon. dressed up like Samuel. A witch cannot bring a saint out of heaven. I hate to disappoint all these people writing these Bibles and making these commentaries. Like, what are you thinking? But it's this thinking that we're talking about. It's this new apostolic reformation. You can go. And not only can you, but man, you should. Granny's waiting for you. You should go. We are told not to visit the dead, not to carry on like that. You're told to call your angels down. You should get to know your angels. Get to know them by name. Well, what is that doing? That's desensitizing you against power. It's desensitizing you against power. It's desensitizing you. You look horrified. You should, Alexis. It's desensitizing you to the sovereignty of God. And it happens very slowly. And I've seen these guys work on this for a couple years. Just by using words, they prepare their people. The dominion, the kingdom, the sounds of heaven, the crackling of heaven. They start to use these things. All about, it's always about the fire. It's music that pounds the same note for about 15 minutes. It's all this, and it gets you to this place. Hey, if you lived in the 60s, you get it. It's the same thing. Yeah, it's the same thing. And they foster the postmodern view that it cannot be true if you don't like it. If you don't like it, it can't be true. Because God wouldn't do that. God wouldn't do that to you. There's no repentance. There's no judgment. It's all love and it's all mercy. And now the reason they want the kingdom of heaven to come down here is because they feel that, and we'll talk about this a little bit more later, but they feel that you cannot, that Jesus can't come back until we are occupying the seven mountains of the earth. And those are their own made-up theology. We're supposed to rule in education. We're supposed to rule in entertainment. We're supposed to rule in media and politics. And when Christians are ruling in all these things, then Jesus can come back because then his church would be purified, and they skip the rapture. And then now we're in the millennial reign, and they say the rapture is not biblical. So Jesus coming is not Jesus coming in the clouds. You know, it's Jesus coming because I paved the way. That's what they're saying. And that's why they're gods. That's why they say that they are. They do grave soaking, although they'll deny it. They do destiny cards, although they'll deny it. But when you talk to different groups that belong to that, they're all doing it. But yet the head's like, well, we don't do that. Well, yeah, you do. All your people are doing it. It's on videos. Why? And then when they're confronted, why didn't you do something? They say, well, everybody acts out their worship different. Yeah, but not to where you're denying God is deity. Not to where you're worshiping the devil. The shepherds will not stand up and say no. They let them eat whatever grass they want, and if they drop dead from poison, nobody cares. To me, it's a difficulty because I'm thinking, what about the Holy Spirit? What about the price that Jesus paid? How sad is that? A large group from Bethel went, and they went to England, and they laid on Smith Wigglesworth's grave trying to get his spirit. Well, you'd have to be an idiot not to know what's going to get on you if you do that. Yeah. Dirt and demons. Because why? When you're doing that, you're not wanting more of this, of Jesus. You're wanting that anointing of that person. He's dead. You can't. And they say it's all because of Elisha and his bones. They take everything out of context and they twist it up. And so sin and repentance, for the most part, is not addressed. It's not preached. They believe in the fire tunnels. You go in one way, you come out another way, and usually you come out the other way, oppressed or possessed by demons. Don't play. I've seen it. I understand it. It's because your willingness. You are willing to let them, and they'll use the word impart. A couple times in Scripture that word was used. Impart. Elijah imparted to Elisha, and he was the greatest man on the earth, and he's like, I don't know. I mean, if you get the mantle, cool. If you don't, whatever. I don't know. Maybe. Paul told Timothy, you know, you've been hanging with me for 10 years. Stir up the gifts, dude. Work it out. whatever good I've taught you, walk in it. It's not this freak thing that they're making it out to be. So the Bible says, don't lay hands suddenly on anybody. You shouldn't. And you certainly should not allow them to lay hands on you. They have this thing called love bombing, which is really a leftover from the Muni cult. The Kundalini spirits come out of Hinduism. You'll see some of that on this video. New Age, Eastern religious cults, they're all mixed up with the NAR, all of them. And they justify it. And they say, well, we shouldn't give up what God created just because they messed it up. And the guys coming out of New Age will tell you, God never did. We made that up. That's how we connect the demons. What are you talking about God for? Has nothing to do with God. There is a guy that was solid. I mean, I'm thinking this guy is a Bible scholar. Solid. Perry Stone. Perry Stone's solid. He just did a thing saying, you have to find your portal. I'm like, what? He's like my go to sleep listening to Perry Stone guy because he's safe, you know? I'm like, what? And he had a whole half hour thing on your portal. Your portal. You got to find it, you know, where the hot spots is what he called it, the hot spots. And that's where you're going to see heaven. That's where the glory is going to come down. That's where you're going to climb the ladder and all this weird, weird, weird stuff. Because Jesus ain't enough, and it's rather sickening, actually. When one of these things is exposed and brought to the front, it is defended. And what they say at Bethel is this, you shouldn't judge because you need to accept, quote unquote, the weirdness to get to the holiness. That is a quote. You have to accept weirdness to get to holiness. And the tragedy is this is sweeping across the world, not just the country, the world. And I don't know how anybody can, I don't know how they can get like that. But anyway, there is no spiritual safety there. And so we have to be careful. The glitter in the meetings have been confirmed to be plastic, but they don't advertise that. It's plastic. The feathers are pigeon feathers. They went to Davis and had it all examined. It's their pigeon feathers. Somebody's playing games. And they say, oh, the glory. It's a glory cloud. You know, if it was an actual glory cloud, I don't think they'd stand there and go, oh, glory cloud. I think they would be half dead on their face, shaking and trembling like Moses or anybody else. They wouldn't just be, look at the glory cloud. Get my camera. Let's take a video of the glory cloud. And the love bombing that they do from the Moonies is that love will make everything okay. If you try to correct them, they'll just grab you and just start loving. Oh, I just love you. Just love. Just it's all love. It's all love. And they just shower you with love and love. And it's false and it's creepy and it's weird and it's wrong. And they say if they just say love enough, it's going to be okay. But they're on LSD or something. Their minds aren't right. Their minds are not right. And they just keep going. Now, this among the revealing of many other false manifestations, they call a sign, and that's how they get out of it. They call it a sign or a wonder. Now, I don't know that we'll get into all of this tonight, but next month, I think it's May 8th, it's the Wednesday after the Friday night, we're going to get into more of that. But a miracle is an extraordinary event. It's an extraordinary event of a natural or divine occurrence. That's what a miracle is. And a miracle exceeds known human capacities or capabilities. It exceeds our understandings. It's beyond our power. It is a miracle. Now, basically, signs are miracles that point to Jesus and give us a revelation of his goodness. Okay? Wonders are miracles that leave man wondering, leave man astounded. I mean, let's face it, a double rainbow is a wonder. You know, it can be as easy and simple as that. It leaves man pondering God with fear, with reverence, and they usually involve nature or provision for mankind. Feeding the 5,000 was a sign. It was a sign. It pointed to the power of Jesus Christ. and it directly affected a provision for mankind. A sign, a token that God is real, that God is on your side, that Jesus is alive. That's a sign. It doesn't have to be freaky. That's a sign. The plagues, now they were wonders, weren't they? Plagues were wonders. They were unexplainable. They served no purpose other than to alert mankind that God was real. Nobody's getting blessed by them, but God's real. Back up your bus. That's what a wonder does. Now, I have found this to be true, and I'm going to tell you, you have to be careful, because the enemy will attack wonders by placing them in the middle of them more than any other arena if he's allowed to. If people start worshiping the wonder, the devil's in it. He jumps right in it, and he'll take it someplace. And this is what's happening in these works. Wonders, they're probably valid to a point, but they insert the devil in it so bad that it becomes a circus, and it begins to imitate God. It begins to mock God. So just because it's unexplainable or amazing does not mean that it is God. Just because a guy walks around saying, Jesus, 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 does not mean he's talking about your Jesus. I've seen full-blown, demon-possessed, satanic people worshiping Satan since they were 5 years old and they're 70 now say, oh, praise be to Jesus. I've seen them say it. And they'll say it all they want. But Scripture says you'll know them if they can say Jesus is Lord with their heart. Just because they say it with their mouth doesn't mean anything. Your mouth doesn't do anything for anybody. That's how they get away with it. The devil begins to imitate because people are chasing the signs and wonders. Now, New Apostolic Reformation, like I said earlier, it's growing faster than Islam. It's the fastest growing movement in the world. It is not, the problem is this, it's not a denomination. It is not a club. It is a slippery, terrible slope of a movement that throw spiritual ethics into the garbage. There are no spiritual ethics in this thing. The Bible says that a wicked generation will seek a sign, and it is creating a lunatic fringe of Christianity that has no reason and it has no boundaries. So the church has either become dead because they're afraid of anything, they're dead, or they're crazy. So there's this little brush arbor, you know, group of people, a little hallway in between that's fighting as hard as they can for the purity and the standard of God. But God will not let you down. He will come with force, and these works will fall apart because the Lord, I know and you know, is not pleased with them. They speak, like I said, of doing away with traditions. The traditions, these traditions built our faith. These traditions built our country. They say we must have ecumenical unity. We have to agree with every religion on the earth. And until we can do that, Jesus won't come back, because they have to rule religion. And to rule religion, we have to all agree. That's why when the Pope comes and snuggles up to somebody who's full gospel, you got to ask yourself, why? Why are they doing that? And even at the altar conference, Francis Chan admitted, I don't know about any of this. I'm not even baptized in the Holy Spirit. I don't even think I believe in it. Quote, unquote. But he's over there because he's just, you know, we all got to get along, you know. We just got to get along. No, we don't. We do not have to get along with that. And in the world, you'll notice there's a lot of nonsense being talked about, racism and judgment and all that. It's from this thing. They're trying to get you to be afraid to come against anything. Because, well, you're a racist. You're judging. The Lord said to judge your righteous judgment, judge the work. And so tonight we look at that. They speak of one world religion. They speak of changing a paradigm. They speak of a new thing, an open door, like I said, a new dimension, the sounds of heaven. They speak of the vibrations in the spirit. And some of these churches that I thought were safe are starting to do that now. They're introducing them, their people, to the vibrations of heaven. And like I said, they speak of portals and hot spots. These are all New Age. They're all New Age, and they're all satanic. That's how Satanists astral project. They go in those things, and they astral project across the world. That's what they're for. Demons do that. But then they're saying, oh, well, no, we're going to the third heaven. Why do you think Paul didn't talk about it? He's like, dude, it was a vision. Maybe not. It was a dream. I don't know. But you guys are crazy, and you'll make something out of it. So I am shutting my yap. But it doesn't matter. People grabbed it anyway, didn't they? The word says that the world would get worse and worse in the end times. We all know that. Matthew 24 talks about it. This group says that apostles and prophets have to be set up before anything can happen. It's a downgrade with the fivefold ministries that happened 15 years ago, if you remember that. That was freakish. And I thought that would never end. Thank God it finally did. On the East Coast, I think that's still going on. But when you put a mandate on anything that's outside of Jesus, you're messing with deity. You can't. You know, Jesus can't come back unless you this or you that. People can't get saved unless you. No, Jesus. Jesus is the thing. Sure, there's certain things in the word. He said, I'm not coming back until this happens in Israel, until this people has that and that people has that, but it has nothing to do with this. The manifestation of the sons of God is also part of the New Apostolic Reformation. And this is the foundation of the NAR. And they say this, the mortal church, this is true, I'm not making it up, it is a quote, man. The mortal church is becoming immortal because of all the power they will receive. And that they will rise up and become Joel's army and become immortal and never die until Jesus comes back. That's a quote, and that's a foundational truth. It's a pillar of the NAR and of IHOP. Now, most generally, if you ask them, are you part of the New Apostolic? No. They'll say no, but they are. And Cindy Jacobs is the chairman of... They have a prayer network, and all these guys are part of it. So how can you be not part of it, but then you're part of it? So mysteriously, I have got the documents. They're there. So instead of looking forward to the rapture and occupying, as the Bible said, occupy until I come, they're saying, no, we have to rule the world. We're going to rule the world, and then Jesus can come. Some of the things they say and they believe is this. You are to direct and command angels. They believe that the angels bring you gems and gifts. The louder you yell and the more you convulse. The Reformation Manifesto, you could look that up. That was written by Cindy Jacobs. She's the leader of the NAR Reformation Prayer Network, like I told you, and she says it this way. When Jesus came to the earth, he wasn't only looking for converts. He was looking to recreate heaven on earth, which he was not. They misunderstand scripture and they misquote it for their cause. He was looking to recreate heaven on earth. So they are less worried about souls, and they'll tell you that. It is not about souls. It's about building a kingdom here and transforming society so that you can walk in a divine order of a prophet or an apostle. And if you do not yield to a prophet or an apostle, you are going to hell unless you are a prophet or an apostle. This is why Bethel states that we're all gods and that everyone is a prophet. And then you can be an apostle. That's why they do all this apostolic training and the school of the prophets. That's these people that do all the school of the prophets. That's why they're doing it. Prophetic conferences. That's why they're doing it. They're trying to teach you to be a prophet because everybody on the earth is supposed to be a prophet. And some will be elevated to be apostles. That is a pillar of their belief. And that's why they'll say, they'll give you the microphone and say, prophesy, whatever you think, prophesy. It's your prophet. Everyone's a prophet. Everyone. That is extreme heresy. In John 18:36, Jesus said his kingdom is not of this world. And they're wanting to create it here. The death and resurrection of Jesus is the heart of the gospel. But Bill Johnson adds to that foundation that we might be healed at all times, no matter what. That's what they say, and that's why I say it's a wrap between New Age and Word of Faith. God only gives away what he has. That's a quote from Bill Johnson. God only gives away what he has. So God doesn't have tumors, so he's not going to give you a cancerous tumor. He doesn't have tumors, so he's not going to give you a tumor. Well, what do they do with 1 Samuel 5:6? Where God ravaged the land and gave people tumors who were coming against God. They don't want to believe the God of sovereignty because he's a meanie pants. So they create this powered down Jesus that is just a little, just a tink higher than them, if that. And that way they can get along with themselves. Revelation 2 says that Jesus will cast people into a sick bed who are false teachers in the book Revelation and destroy their works. That doesn't sound like, you know. So they're a oneness movement wrapped up in New Age. Oneness meaning Jesus only. So they concentrate, and they'll teach this. You can only deal with Jesus the first 3.5 years. And when you go into there, in the Bethel, and you get involved with any of their stuff, they want you to do, if you go to their school or anything, you read the Gospels for 5 or 6 months, nothing but the Gospels. You concentrate on Jesus only. Now, I'm a fan of Jesus, as you are. But the problem with this is it's a pillar of falsehood because there's God. God actually exists. And the Holy Spirit's real. And what they do is say, if Jesus didn't do it, you can't do it. If Jesus wasn't about that, then God's not about that. And they have diminished the very Trinity because of this. And they've allowed us to become part of the Trinity. If there's only three in a Trinity, somebody got kicked out. I don't know who it is. If we're in it, I don't know for sure. But they discount Jesus and the gospel for embracing the ability to heal because they want it that way. And when they talk about this, you think, huh, well, that kind of makes sense. But if you don't immediately compare it to scripture, you do get led away, and to say the least, you get a headache. They misrepresent Galatians 2. Look that up for yourself. I'm sure that Bill Johnson is a kind man. I'm sure he's a good man. But these are very bad, horrible things that disregard the Bible in teaching. The standard is Jesus, which is good, and they'll tell you that. But they twist it after you come into agreement, and they start turning and changing your mind. And it happens very subtly, and the video is the end result. Bill Johnson says it is theologically immoral to consider the Holy Spirit or God outside of Jesus. It's theologically immoral. They do not want you to know God. They want you to know the Jesus they're preaching, which isn't. You can't know Jesus without knowing God. He's a made-up dude. You can't know him without the Father. And that's the Trinity. But this is a direct quote. Theologically immoral to consider the Holy Spirit of God outside of Jesus. The acts of God, and this is a statement, the acts of God come from disappointment and not revelation. The angels come and give revelation. Sounds like Joseph Smith to me. We pay attention to only Jesus and his 3.5-year reign on the earth, he further says, and this is tricky. He says this. You see, all of it is worded so cool. And you just think, wow, this is good. And then you snap out of it, like, what am I doing? Some truths are superior and some are inferior. Right? But some truths are superior and some are inferior. Some things are true and other things are more true. This is a quote. Whatever you think of God that is not manifested in Jesus, and Jesus didn't do it, it's not true. So they take the sovereignty of God away, And he further, I spare you the continual conversation, but he further would say, for instance, the judgment of God is true. And we agree. Everyone's like, amen. The judgment of God is true. But the mercy of God is truer. The judgment of God is inferior. The mercy of God is superior. You see how that works? You sit under a guy like that long enough, and you'll get sucked in because there's half truth. And you think, well, this guy's got it figured out. He has got it. And it's not just him. It's all these guys. And these guys started years ago, I remember. They were starting to do prophetic conferences, all these guys. And before you know it, they're all doing this. They're a crazy town. So, they take the sovereignty of God away. Now, there is, like I said, there's no rapture. We are supposed to rule the world. And if we don't, Jesus won't come back. Forget about the gospel. Forget about souls. They misread the Lord's Prayer. The NARS say, angels come and give new information. Bill Johnson's new book, he co-authored, The Physics of Heaven. This is a title. It tells you right away. The Physics of Heaven, Quantum Mysticism, and Our Inner Vibrations. Just wrote it. And he says this, many prominent pastors and conference speakers add fuel to the fire of fear that by assuming that because the New Age promotes it, its origins must be from the devil. I find that form of reasoning weak at best. If we follow that line of thought, we will continue to give the devil the tools that God has given to us for success in life and ministry. New Age chief Warren Smith has this to say about that. He calls it testing spirits. When Christians think that the tactics and the techniques of the New Age movement can be utilized for their purposes, they forget it was ordained and began in hell. It was designed in hell. It cannot be used for good. Why on earth would they think that? It is the occult at its foundational form, and churches that operate in it are exercising the greatest forms of stupidity, foolishness, and pride because they want to be special and find a new thing. They will ignore the basics of the gospel. I will never understand it, having come from the tragedy of it all. But Bill Johnson is saying, oh, no, his portals are good. Waking up angels, so good. Yeah, all this demonic stuff, all this New Age stuff. No, no, no. It's like Halloween. We're going to have a harvest festival. It's crazy. Now, here's scriptures. You can write them down. We won't read them because we're carrying on here. Galatians 1, 8, and 9. I'll go slow for you. Uh-huh. 1 Thessalonians 2:15. 1 Thessalonians 2:15. Second Corinthians 11:3. First Timothy 3:16. And it's important for you that you're here. It's important that you understand these things. I'm proud of you for being here because it's the largest growing movement. We have to come against it. I meet people on the other side. They're out of their mind. They're crazy. They've lost their mind in it, and they're begging for help. They need help. Did I say 2 Peter 2:1? Okay, 2 Peter 2:1. 1 Timothy 3:16, did I say that one? 2 Thessalonians 2, 9 and 10. Galatians 1, 6 through 9. And 4, 8 to 20. And 5, 1 to 5. And 5:22 to 23, Matthew, 7, 19 to 23, and 24, 4, 10, and 24. The book of Jude. Matthew 7, 19 to 23, and Matthew 24, verses 4, 10, and 24. The book of Jude. Second Corinthians 11, 3 through 5. Titus 1, 8 and 9. Romans 16, 17 and 18. Ezekiel chapter 13. Jeremiah chapter 23. Matthew 24 says that many false prophets shall arise in the last days, and many shall be deceived, and that there shall arise false Christs and false prophets and show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. The very elect will be deceived by wanting more of Jesus, or hearing a new way or a new thing. Better mousetrap, better pie recipe, less fattening cookie. That, you know, it's, they're going to think a new thing. But not everyone serves the same Jesus, and that's what you have to understand. Not everyone serves the same Jesus. They further believe, I'm so sick of talking about this, we're almost done. They further believe that there are seven mountains of destiny. They must be conquered and occupied before Jesus comes back. Now this is called, and we touched on it lightly, this is called dominion theology or dominionism. And if you listen to somebody talking about dominion a lot, they're in this. And they're just getting the people primed to go to a place, but they're in this. Dominion, all the time dominion. Now there's one thing, dominion and authority. When you say, this is my square and I have authority over it, that's one thing. But to say Jesus can't come back until I figure out my dominion, that's nuts. That's the kind of dominion they're talking about. They're not talking about personal dominion and authority. They're talking about dominion of the world, controlling the world. Like some alien invasion, it's weird. It's not talking about to live rightly. It's talking about controlling. They believe they're conquering the areas of cultural influence in this. Education, entertainment, media, religion, family, government, and business. If they don't rule those things, they feel that Jesus can't come back. The cross, and these are a couple quotes that's, and you might think, well, Sandy, what's the big deal? Let them think what they want. Who cares? That would be fine. That would be fine. Except they're spreading this love bomb stuff everywhere, and there's no repentance. So there's no salvation. It's doing the opposite of what Jesus said to do. The NARM movement has made this statement, and Todd White actually said this. The cross does not reveal my sin. The cross does not reveal my sin. It reveals my value. I mean, I kind of like that, you know? I mean, as a human, you're like, oh, my I feel valued. People, that's what's wrong with people. They need value. They need affirmation. They don't want repentance. So Todd White says, the cross does not reveal my sin. It reveals my value. And Bill Johnson said, we no longer need the principles of Christ. We just need his presence. Well, that's dangerous because the devil's ever present as well. He's got stuff. It's tricky because we do have value. And the presence of God is good. So it becomes tricky because there was always a cost that they leave out. Principles and repentance, they leave that cost out because it's too weighty. You can't grow a church with that. They don't think they can. Now, the doctrine of demons undermines the gospel by mixing untruth with truth. That's what it's good at. untruth with truth. There's superior truth and inferior truth. That's a doctrine of devils, because it's mixing truth with untruth. Someone in this movement who was a leader up at Bethel, and they just wrote this book, The Physics of Heaven, Quantum Mysticism and the Inner Vibrations, it's a full Eastern mysticism book wrapped up in language that shouts apostle and prophet. That's why they have all these schools of the prophets and schools of the apostles, because they want everyone to be these things. 2 Timothy 4, 2 through 4 said this: preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 that the gospel is of the first importance. It is of the utmost importance beyond any experience, beyond anything. It is the gospel of Jesus Christ, and that is this: Jesus was born, Jesus died, and Jesus rose again. Nothing else. And we can get fancy along the sides, but that's it. And they deny a lot of those things that are held dear within that. And they start talking against traditions. When people start talking against traditions and start talking for dominions, they've been bit by this. The end of the chapter says this: therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. The devil is a steward. He doesn't have authority. He has stewardship. We have authority because of Jesus. And these people, when they come in head to head and you're full of the power of God, the closer you get to them, they actually back up and they start rattling. I've said it. I go truth for truth. Let's have a showdown, truth for truth. They can't hold up under it, because what they're serving is false. It isn't that one person has more power than the other. No, one person's serving the truth of Christ and then one is not. And sometimes you just have to say truth for truth, power for power, let's go. And they will buckle because they're not serving Jesus Christ, the living God. They're serving something that's been made up. 20 years ago, there was a move that said that Jesus would not come back until the whole church was moving in a fivefold ministry. It was dumb, just like this is dumb. But this has been around. It's been recycled, I think, 4 or 5 times. It's been around since the 20s. It just keeps getting called new things, and new people keep grabbing it because they want to have a new thing. They want to have a new thing. 2 Peter 2:1-3. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. Hebrews 7:27 speaks of Jesus and says, who needs not daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifice, first for his own sins and then for the people's. For this he did once when he offered himself. Jesus is the victory. And they have their little sozos and things that they do, these little weird inner healings. And they'll tell you, we do not deliver anybody of demons. We don't believe in it, and we don't do it. Well, I've been in one of those. The hardest 10 hours of my life. They just stir up the demons. That's all they do, is stir them up. And then the guys manifest and fall over, and they go, well, he's a little closer now to getting free. I mean, it's just the demons being taught how to behave, and it's very, 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 very sad. Acts 17:11 says, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so. Paul instructed the people to check what was happening against scripture. John 1 John 4:1 tells us not to believe every spirit. We forget the devil's got the juice. He's got some stuff. Read about the plagues. He was available. He was doing stuff right next to the Lord. He was doing stuff. People were deceived. Many false prophets go into the world to deceive people who are ready to be deceived because they're not looking for Jesus. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 says, "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there shall come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he, as God, sits in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now lets will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all the deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they would believe a lie, and that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or by epistle. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good work." Amen. I was going to go on another thing now and do a regular, you know, spiritual warfare training, but I just feel like we need to stop and just kind of, how could you absorb anything else, or at least anything normal? So let's just go to prayer and ask the Lord our portion and what we're supposed to do. I believe that we know the truth, and we just need to get opportunity to present that truth to those who are hurting. I've dealt with a lot of people coming out of those movements with Randy Clark and Bill Johnson, and they have no peace. They are just full of ticks and twitches. They can't rest. They have no peace. It's very sad. No peace at all. And they do these weird twitch things, and I'll say, "What's the matter with you?" And they say, "Oh, whenever I get around the Spirit, this happens." I mean, their whole body is writhing. And I say, "Well, no. That's the spirit in you was worried about the spirit in me is what's happening." And it's sad because they really have no peace. They lose their jobs because they can't walk a straight line. They're just messed up. And it starts, these guys in that video were making apostles. They're imparting the apostleship, which is unscriptural. It's not found in scripture. So why are they allowing that? But they are, because they want a new thing. They want a new way. They want more power. You know, whenever you get about 2 inches away from Jesus, you're going to get in trouble. Just remember I told you that. Wherever you go in your life, just keep it about Jesus, okay? Father, thank you for tonight, God. Thank you that in the midst of sorrow, God, and even just aggravation, Lord, you are here with your goodness and your peace. We thank you, Father, for that. And every bad spirit we condemn to hell and cast down in the name of Jesus. Every thought that is not of God, we destroy, and we lift you up, Jesus. And may those who have fallen away into false works, God, may they be redeemed. May you rescue them, God. Go find them. You're good at that. And we promise we'll love them on this end, Lord. Amen.